Begin the current daf Masechta Sukka, daf Nun Dal. Begin 4 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. That is, it spoke about what the minimum amount of tekiyas, of blasts, they would have from the trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash on every day, which wasn't less than 21. And also, there wasn't more than 48, which the Mishnah then described what is that case when you're going to have 48 blasts in one day in the Beis HaMikdash. That is, Erev Shabbos Shepetech HaChag V'chulu. That is, when it's a Friday on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, where you're going to have 3 different components. You're going to have what's done every single day. Then you have the extra ones that come with Sukkos, which is part of the process of the Mila HaMayim, when they would draw the water for the Nisach HaMayim. Additionally, with the extra blasts that come on Friday, that total will make for 48. Now, in that, the Gemara asks, it seems like that the number should be greater than 48. Because Ve'ilu L'may La'asiris Le'katani, there's another 3 blasts that are not mentioned, which was mentioned before, that was done in part of the process of the Mila HaMayim. We said that when they would be coming down those 15 steps, which correlates to the 15 Shir HaMalos, they would start on the top, then on the 10th step, they would then blow again the Tekiyah Teruah Tekiyah, and then when they got to the bottom, all the way through the Azara, they would make another 3 blasts. So that would make for a total of 51. And that's not mentioned, only says that it's going to be 48. And that the Gemara says, so Masnit and Mani, so who's the town of our mission on the previous daf? Must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who doesn't hold that there were those 3 blasts on the 10th step. The Tana Glinda Braisa, Shalish Lamai Lasiris, the Tana Kama in this Braisa holds that there were 3 blasts on the 10th step. Blessed Ben Yaakov Aymer, he argues, he says, Shalish Al Gabi Hamizbech. There were 3 that were part of the equation of how many blasts there were for the 48, but there weren't 3 that were on the 10th step, rather, there were 3 by the Mizbech, which is when they would put the Arabis around the Mizbech, that's when they would make 3 blasts. As the Braisa explains, Ha'ayma Lamai Lasiris, the one who says that there were 3 blasts by the 10th step, he does not hold that they would blow by the Chatzaitzis when they would put the Arabis by the Mizbeach. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that there were 3 when they put the Arabis by the Mizbeach, he doesn't hold that there were 3 blasts by the 10th step, and therefore the town of our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who doesn't count those 3, and that's why it was 48, not 51. Now the Gemara asks, my Tamid Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what's the reason of his opinion? Why doesn't he hold like the Tana Kama that there were 3 blasts by the 10th step? So that the Gemara says, Kim Nitaka L'Psicha Sha'arim, since they already blew the 3 blasts when they opened up the gates, which is how they would start any single day. Now, L'mala Siris L'mali Dataka, so what would be the purpose of blowing 3 blasts when they get to the 10th step? Hailav Sha'arhu, it's not a gate, so what would be the purpose of blowing by the 10th step? Hilkach gabe mizbeach, so therefore rather it's better to blow it when they're by the mizbeach, because that was a certain significant avodah when they would be putting the arabis by the mizbeach, so that makes sense to blow over there. However, by the 10th step, what significance does that have? The only other time that we find that it wasn't part of the mila hamayim, for example, when they started the morning, when they opened up the gates, but here, what is the 10th step that we would be blowing over there? Rabban sabi, however, they're bun and hold, they keep in the talk of the mila hamayim. Since we already are blowing, we have many blows that they would make a tekiyah through a tekiyah for the process of filling up the water, sagabim mizbeach lamli. They hold, to the contrary, what would be the purpose of blowing when they have the arabis by the mizbeach? And that is because all these extra tekiyahs that they would be doing on Sukkot's time, which was by the Shahar Elya in the upper gate before they came down from the Eses Yisrael to Ez Nashim, and the Shahar Tachtin, which was by the bottom and they went through leaving the Azara towards the Harabayis, and the Shahar Mayim, which was when they would come back in after they filled up the water. It was all part of this process of the Nisach HaMayim. And therefore, the question is, why would I need a tekiyah? That's what they're saying, the Rabban's opinion is, for the Aravis. But all these tekiyahs that they add on for the Yom Tov Sukkos are only because of the Pasuk Ushavta Mayim Besasim, that you should draw the water with rejoicing. And therefore, what significance would there be by blowing by the Aravis by the Mizbeach if we already have for what the whole purpose of adding tekiyahs and sukkahs is part of the Mila HaMayim process. So Hilkach, rather, since there was a tradition that the calculation of the tekiyahs on the Yom Tov Sukkahs will be an additional 12, so L'mal HaSiris Adif, it makes more sense to do those extra 3 by the 10th step, because that would be obvious that those are being blown for the process of Mila HaMayim, because it's in the middle of it. They did on the Shahar Elyon, then on the 10th step, then the Shahar Tachtin, so you would see, and it's all along this same order. Now, Rashi explains, now, the reason why it was, but the 10th step was just because it would be a specific place to know where to do it, but it really wasn't significant that it was the 10th step per se. It's just we have to tell them how to do that in the procession, so we said that it's going to be the 10th step. But the idea why they would hold the 10th step and not the Mizbeach is because where does the Mizbeach come in there? Even though the Arava, which is part of the Yom Tov Sukkos, but the whole extra joy of blowing more and more is because of Shavtimai and Besosin, and we'd rather do it along that Seder when they would start from the top and coming down and go to fill up the water and then blow again. That's more preferable. Now the Gemara continues with a related topic, which was also related to our Mishnah, where they different times they would do more than the minimum 21 tekiyas that they had to do every single day. And one of them was because they would add on more tekiyas for when there was a musaf that was brought there on different times, like a Yom Tov. So ki asar of Acha Brachanina Midrayma, when he came, Aisa Masnitin Biyadi, when he came from the south, he came and they brought a brisa in his hands, and the brisa said as follows. There's a pasuk in Midbar that says, Uvnei Aaron HaKoyanim, the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, Yisku Bechatzotzes, they should blow the trumpets. Now, She'in Tamaloy Yisko, the Brisa says that there's really nothing the Pasuk is teaching us from the word Yisko, they should blow. Rather, it should have just said, Ubnei Aaron Bechatzotzes, that the sons of Aaron on the trumpets, because Shekvar Nemar already tells us that Uskatim Bechatzotzes, we know what to do with the trumpets, that you blow with the trumpets. Alolisechem Valzivcha Shalmechem, on the Karbonis Oila and the Karbonis Shlamim. So, Matamaloy Yisko, so what is the Pasuk teaching that they should blow? It could be telling us that it's the Kehanim, but it should have just said, with the chatzaitis. What does it say? Yisko. So hakol lefi hamasaf and toiken. What it's teaching us is that regarding that there should be the tekiyas according to the masafin, which the Gemara will explain right now. What does exactly that mean? So who Reb Acha Tanila, he taught us this brisa. Who Amalei, he explained what is the brisa saying. What the Brice is teaching from this extra word of Yisko is that there should be tekiyas, that's why he repeats the word Yisko, which is L'chari not teaching anything, to say that every single Musaf got its own extra tekiyas. And that is when the Brice says, Hakol lefi ha-musafin, is that every single Musaf should get a tekiyah. So for example, if let's say there was a day that had two Kedushos, which means two Musafin, for example, it was Shabbos Yom Tov, so they would blow for every Musaf. When they would say the Musaf of Shabbos, they would sing the Shir of Shabbos, and they would blow nine tekiyas, which, as we explained in the previous daf, there would be three interruptions, three parakim in that Shira, and each one, they would blow three blasts, so times three would be nine. And then by the Musaf of the Yom Tov, again, they would say the Shira of Yom Tov, and then there they would blow nine tekiyas. And then, but that's what how Reb Acha explained the Brisa, that every single Musaf got added tekiyas. On that, the Gemara asked, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Shabbatecha Chag, it said that the Friday that was on Sukkot, Hayisha Memches, that was the maximum amount of tekiyas we got. That was 48 tekiyas. Now, Ve'im Isa, if it's true the way Reb Acha is interpreting this brisa, that we blow extra tekiyas for every carbon musaf, not that like when there's musaf and then no matter how many musafim there's extra, but every single one gets extra, then listening Shabbos Shabbatecha Chag, we should have said a different case in our Mishnah of Shabbos Cholamoyed on Sukkot. Because meshkachas lo chamshin b'chad, because then you're going to have 51. Because if you consider every one, you have the Musaf of Sukkot, you have the Musaf of Shabbos, you end up having 51. So why does the Mishnah say only the case of Erev Shabbos and Sukkot where you'll have 48, based on what Reb Acha is saying, that every Musaf gets another 9, we would have 51. So Reb Zera says, l'fi she'in toikin l'psicha sh'ar b'Shabbos. The reason is because that wouldn't be 51. We'd have to minus 3, because we do not blow for the opening of the gates, which are from the first blast that we make in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, because it's not a mitzvah like the tekiyas of the carbon war. Because by a carbon it says the pasuk "Uskatu mechatzoytis aloy loisechem." So that's a mitzvah to blow, so that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But the blast that they would do when they would open up the gates would just be a simon to know that everyone should come, do the avodah to the Yisrael Malamadim and the Levim Luduchanim, and therefore that's not Deicha Shabbos. So there would be no accomplishment in saying that case, Reb Zera answers, because there would also be 48, because you would have to take away 3 from the opening of the gates. Now that I'm a Rava. Rava asked 2 questions, Reb Zera. Says, Man ha, who is this that gave such an answer? That's not concerned about his flour, and that is he grinds and he takes out the coarse bran, and he's not concerned. In other words, what he was saying was that he's just saying words that aren't true. Chada, first of all, our Mishnah says that every single day, no matter what the day is, there was a minimum of 21 blasts. Now, it counted the 3 of the opening of the gates with that. Now, if it's not on Shabbos, it would come out that it's less than 21. V'yoyde, moreover, even if you're going to say, like you wanted to answer, that, on Shabbos, we're not going to make the 3 blasts when we open up the gates. And therefore, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, that comes out in the middle of the Yom Tov Sukkos, is going to be 48. which will be the same 48 as Erev Shabbos, which is the case Shabbat Chag that the Mishnah talks about. But listening Shabbos Shabbat Chag Hoi Shema Bram Bishmaina. Then, however, that is the case that it should have picked and left the case of Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag. You're right; they both would have been 48 anyway. But if it would be 48, we would rather pick Shabbos Chol HaMoed than Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed. The Shamit Minei Tarti, because then we could have taught ourselves two chidushim from that halacha. First of all, Shamit Minad Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. We would have heard this chidush of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov that we do not blow the three blasts by the tenth step, rather we blow the three by the Mizbech, as we explained just before, that obviously the town of a Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. V'shamit Minad, but additionally we would have learned Rebbe Acha Bar Chanina. We would have learned Rebbe Acha Bar Chanina's chidush that we blow the tkiyas for every single musaf. Because regarding the case of when it's Erev Shabbos, where although there is a chiddush there too, that we make additional blasts of the three to separate between Friday and Shabbos, which is Kodesh and Chayil, and the three to stop the people from doing Malacha, that already the first half of the Mishnah already told us that. So therefore, the Tana of the Mishnah should have left the case of Erev Shabbos, because there it's only teaching us one chiddush, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, that we don't make the three blasts by the tenth step, rather we make the three by the Mizbeach. However, we should have said the case of Shabbos, so therefore he's asking Rabbi Zeira, first of all, it sounds like that we do blow the three blasts by the Sha'arim on every day, even Shabbos. But even if it's like you're saying that you don't make it, and therefore they're both 48, but still, we could have learned two chedushim from that case when it's Shabbos. First of all, that it's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which you do get in the case in the Erev Shabbos. But additionally, we could have learned Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina's chedush, that we blow blast for every Karban Musaf individually, for Shabbos and for Sukkot, and therefore we should have said that case in the Mishnah and not the case of Erev Shabbos Shabbatei Chag. So Elam Rava, rather Rava answers, he says that you couldn't have said the case of Shabbos Chol HaMoed to make it either 51 or 48, Lefisha in Toikin Lemilu Mayim B'Shabbos, because we don't blow the blast at all for the whole Milu Mayim, for the Nisach HaMayim process on Shabbos at all, because the water has already been filled up from before Shabbos, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, the Chesem HaBeis, where the Mishnah says, Ele Shehoyim Memalim Erev Shabbos. It says that we did the same procedure of Nisach HaMayim on Shabbos like the weekday, but the difference was that they wouldn't fill it up on Friday night. They had it filled up from before Shabbos to get the water from the Shiloach, and therefore, the Batzei Tuva, then there's much less, because all the additional blasts that we have on Sukkot, when they would blast on the Shahar Elyon, and then the Shahar Tachdin, and then when they would be coming back with the Shahar HaMayim, and the blasts that they would have by the Mizbeach, all those were missing out, because that we're not doing on Shabbos. And additionally, we're not going to be having the blast by the to separate the people from doing Malacha and separate between Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it's on Shabbos, and then we're going to be having much less than 51 and 48. And that's why Rava says we couldn't have said that case. Because although it sounds like that we're going to have 51, it's not true. You have to take away all the extra ones from Sukkot because we don't make those blasts on Friday night. Now, the Gemara goes back and continues asking on Rebbe Acha that if it's true, like he said, that we make extra tekiyas for every single Karban Musaf, not just when there's Musaf, no matter how many Musafim there are, that we would make one extra blast for them. We're making blasts for every single one individually. But then, Belisni Nami Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos. And our Mishnah should have said, a case when it's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, where there's also going to be 48. You have the 21 of every single day. Then you have an extra 27 for the three Musafim. Because the Ikar Tlas Musafim, there are three Musafim when it's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. You have Musaf Rosh Hashanah, that's 9. Then you have Musaf Rosh Chodesh, that's another 9. And you have Musaf Shabbos, that's another 9. That's an extra 27. That makes it a total of 48. So therefore, just like we say, the case of Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag, that's 48, we could have said a case of Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So that the Gemara answers, you're right. They both would have been 48. But Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag Itzruchle, we needed to say the case of Erev Shabbos that's on Sukkot, to say that of the maximum amount of 48. Because Lashem Inna Kerev Elazar ben Yaakov is because we had to teach you another chiddush that how we make the calculations of the 48 counts, that it's for the tekiyas of the Mizbech, and that we don't count the three blasts by the 10th step. And therefore, that's why we wanted to pick that case. You're right, that would also have been the case of 48, but we'd rather take this case of 48 so that we could tell you that chiddush of Elazar ben Yaakov, that we don't count the three by the 10th step. Now that the Gemara asks on that answer, did we say lisniha v'loy lisniha? Meaning, did we say that we should only say the case of Shabbos Rosh Hashanah that you'll have 48 and not to say the case of 48 of Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag, where you said you need to say it because you need to tell us the halacha of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov? Lisniha v'lisniha. Our question is, say both of them. You're saying the maximum amount, and it's just you picked one case. You could have picked both cases to say when we have 48. So that the Gemara answers, you're right, but Tanav Ashayer, the Tanav Mishnah learned the halacha, it said a case of 48, but it left over other cases. Now the Gemara asks, as it asks throughout Shas, it says, "My shire, the high shire." When you're saying we left over a case that could have been also 48, what else was left over? In other words, if it's just one case, it wouldn't make sense that we would just leave out one case if we could have just said it together. If there's more than one, then we can say we're not going to say every single case is 48. So what else was left over that you're now answering that Shabbos Rosh Hashanah was also from that list that could have been said of 48, but once we were leaving over, we left over a few of them. Where else do we see a case that could be 48? So that the Gemara answers. Actually, there is another case that could be 48. Shair Erev HaPesach. We left over the case of Erev Pesach as we continue on Talmud Beis. Where Erev Pesach, there's the slaughtering of the carbon Pesach. There's 27 tekiyas that they would do. And that's because, as the Gemara explains in Pesach Pesachim, the carbon Pesach was slaughtered in three different groupings, one after another on Erev Pesach, as the Gemara in Pesachim, the Samach Dalav and Aleph explains. Now, each and every group would recite the Halal three times, because there were many Karbanos Pesach that the whole entire Jewish people were bringing, and they had to say Halal when they were slaughtering it. Now, it wasn't feasible for them to slaughter all their Karban Pesachs in every single group until they had to continuously be reciting Halal when all the Pesachim were brought. Each group would take three times of the recitation of Halal all the Karban Pesachs to be brought. Now, although it says over there in the Mishnah that that it's not true that each group did never really get a chance to finish the halal three times. That's what Rashi says, that's that they didn't get a chance to conclude the third time. However, there wasn't ever a group that didn't conclude at least two times and started the third time saying halal. It's just that they never finished the third halal, and then all their karbanos were finished already, and then they went to the next group. Now, therefore, that means we're not missing any from the amount of the blast that we're saying here in this case, because they started saying it the third time, which is in the beginning when they would make the blast, when they would start the halal. And since every reciting of the halal had three blasts, it comes out that they had 3 times 3 is 9, times 3 of the groups is 27, and therefore you're going to have an amount of 48 by Erev Pesach. And therefore, that's another case where you would have 48. And therefore, it's not a question why we didn't say the case of Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, because although there's 48, but we left over cases, as we find by another case of Erev Pesach. And the Gemara asks, Imashom Erev Pesach, it's not true. That can't support you that's another case of 48. Because Lav Shiruhu, that's not a case that would have been 48 that we're saying that we left out and we left over, and therefore we could say that Shabbos Rosh Hashanah is the same thing. The Hamani, because we could say, who's that Tana? Rabbi Yehudahi, the Tana of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Yehuda. The Amma Mimeim Shalkat Shlishas, he says that actually the third group of that there would be all the people would come in, one group, and then they would close the Azar, and then the second group, then the third group, which was the last group. Lahigia Lamer, they never got a chance to say when they were saying Hal, Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, which was the parak that the first time reciting the Hal, that they didn't get more than three tekiyas, because when you start off saying halal, there's an automatic three. But they never got more than three tekiyas. M'nei shahaya am mu'atan. There were a very small amount of people in the third group, because by the first two groups, they would pack into the azara for every single group. Therefore, by the time the third group came along, there were very, very few people there. And therefore, their slaughtering the Pesachs didn't take so long to recite the halal three times. So therefore, we could say that the case of Erev Pesach actually is not 48 tekiyas, because you're taking away the last two groups that from the last group, they didn't have more than three blasts. They didn't have nine blasts. And therefore, who said that our Mishnah, when it didn't say Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, is because it was leaving over other things? Where else do you find, besides Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, which is the Gemara's question, why didn't it say that case also? So we tried saying, oh, because there's another case of Erev Pesach. And then our Gemara is saying, no, who said? Maybe our Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, who he holds that there wasn't 48 in Erev Pesach. And then the question returns. So why not say also Shabbos Rosh Hashanah? Now the Gemara says, wait a second, Hakim the Delir Kibi Yehuda. How can you ask on our answer that maybe the town of Amishna is Rabbi Yehuda and therefore there are no other ones left over because maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda? But we already proved earlier that if our Mishnah would be Rabbi Yehuda, he would have said that Tekiah true Tekiah, each one is one. He wouldn't have said that there's no less than 21 and no more than 48. He would have said that 7 and 16, which is different numbers because his metrics are based on counting Tekiah true and Tekiah as one. And our Mishnah doesn't count like that. So obviously the town of Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So why are you asking on our answer and saying maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda and therefore there's nothing more that was left over? Now the Gemara says back to that, no, it's a valid question. Because if a Dilma Haitan, then maybe the town of Mishnah, you're right, it's not Rabbi Yehuda himself. But Savar lo kavasei b'chad, the time of the Mishnah maybe holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one arena, which is this halacha of Erev Pesach, that it didn't have 48 blasts, because the third group never got a chance to say even past a hafti the first time around, and for sure didn't finish it three times. Upol gale b'chad. But you're right, the time of the Mishnah argues on Rabbi Yehuda in one arena, that of the numerics, the numbers of the amount of the tekiyas, where you're right, he counted the tekiyah, true tekiyah, as three blasts, not as one, but our question is still valid. Because, and therefore the Gemara says, Ella, since you could say the Tanna of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, at least in that halacha of Erev Pesach, so my shayr de hayshayr, so we're back to the question. What else was left over that you're telling me that just like Erev Pesach on Sukkot, that there's 48, and we're asking, but there's another case, why don't we say Shabbos Rosh Hashanah? So you're saying because there are other left over, what else was left over if we could say that Erev Pesach is not a case of 48, because you could say the Tanna of a Mishnah held like Rabbi Yehuda in that halacha. I think Mar says, no, there is another case that could have been 48. Shair Erev HaPesach Shechaliyis Be'erev Shabbos. When it's Erev Pesach and additionally it's Erev Shabbos. Where Apek Shis, you're right, you take away six from the Tekiyas of the third group because you're saying that maybe the town of Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't have nine, only has three, because they didn't recite the Hal three times to have three times blowing the three blasts, only one time. But V'ayil Shis, now since it's Erev Shabbos, you add another six, because every Erev Shabbos had six. That of saying that the people should stop working, which they would blow on every Erev Shabbos, and this Havdalah being mavdal between the weekday and Shabbos, right when it would be Shkir time, and therefore there is another case of 48. And therefore that's what the Gemara's answer by saying is that we could leave over the case of Shabbos Rosh Hashanah because there's actually another case of Erev Pesach that's Erev Shabbos that's also 48, and therefore we're not going to go say every case that's 48. But ultimately, there's no question on Reb Acha where his halacha was that we're going to blow an extra set of tekiyas for every Karban Musaf because although then we had asked the question that then it seems there could be that amount. For example, in the case of Rosh Hashanah, Shechalis B'Shabbos, where then our question was, so then why don't we say that too? It's because you're right. But we're not saying that because Shire, we leave over other cases as we find in other cases that could be 48, and we're not going to say every case of 48. Then the Mishnah said, Ve'im Yisivin Al Memches. We said that, however, we're not going to make any more than 48. Now, the Gemara asked, Veloy, is that really true that there's never more than 48 blasts in one day in the Beis HaMikdash? But Ve'ikar Erev HaPesach Shechaliyis B'Shabbos, when Erev Pesach is on the Shabbos, because De'il Rabbi Yehuda, because if you're going to go like Rabbi Yehuda, then it's Chamshin V'Chada. Then there's going to be 51 blasts, because you have the 21 of every single day. You have the 9 of the Karban Musaf, which every Shabbos you have a Karban Musaf. That makes it into 30. Then you have the 18 of the two groups. You have the 3rd of the 3rd group, the 3 of the 3rd group, as we said, that he holds that they only get up to a hafti. So that makes it for a total of 51. And Ila Rabbanan, if you're going like the Rabbanan, who they say the 3rd group also completed 3 times. So then you have Chamshin V'Sheva, they have 57. However, no matter who you're going like, there is going to be on one day of the year that there will be a day that has more than 48. So why did Mishnah say there's no more than 48? So I think what it says you're right. Kikitani, when did we say in our Mishnah that this is the max? We were saying midi di isi b'chol shana. We were talking about something that happens every single year. And that is erva pesach shchalis b'shabes the lesser b'chol shana b'shana lekitani. We weren't referring to erva pesach that's on the Shabbos, which doesn't happen every year. And therefore, you're right. It's possible to have on one day more than 48. But we meant as on the cycle of a year, you won't have a regular day, no matter what day it is, to have more than 48. Now that the Gemara asks, what you're telling me that we when we said these numbers, no less than 21, no more than 48, we only meant something that comes every once a year, but Atu Erev Shabbos Shabbatecha Chag, but are you telling me the case that when it's Friday on Sukkot, Mi Yisei B'chol Shana, does that happen necessarily every year? But Zimnon Lo Mishkachas Lei. There are times when you're not going to have the 48 amount, which we said is when Friday of the Yom Tov Sukkot, that you should have the blowings of when they would fill up the water of the Mishnah, which is what made that day into 48 blasts. Now, V'Heichidami, what would that case be talking about? When we would have a year that we're not going to have a Friday of Sukkot that will have 48 blasts. K'goyin shechal yom tev rishon, for example, let's say the first day of Sukkot is Be'erev Shabbos, is on Friday, where, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that Simchas Beis HaSheva was not done on Yom Tov itself. It only started on Matzah Yom Tov, after the first day, because it's not Teicha Yom Tov. And therefore, that Friday, you're not going to be having Simchas Beis HaSheva, because it's on the first day of Yom Tov, and although it's Friday, but the first day of Yom Tov, we don't do Simchas Beis Sheva. And the next Friday is going to be Shemini Atzeres, which is, you don't do Simchas Beis Sheva on Shemini Atzeres. So therefore, you could have a year where there is no Friday Sukkot that will be have 48 blasts. And therefore, the question is, if you said it's something that comes out every year, so why are we saying in that case either? You said we didn't say the other case, which could be 57, because it's not necessarily every year. So this is also not necessarily every year. So why did we say that case of 48? So that the Gemara says, actually, the question is not a feasible question. Now, why is that? Because Kima Kalinon Yom Tov Rishon Be'erev Shabbos, when it's going to happen like that, with a Chacham see that the first day of Sukkot is going to be on Erev Shabbos, which is this challenge, actually, they push off the day by one day, and it's not going to be like that. And therefore, they're going to make El, the month before, into a El Ma'uber, which is going to be, they're going to make it 30 days instead of 29 days, so that Rosh Hashanah should be on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara asked my time, well, what's the reason for that? Our question was that it's possible to have where Friday will be on the first day of Sukkot. Now, therefore, then you're not going to have 48 blasts on that Friday. You're not going to have a Sukkot that's going to have 48 blasts. Now, that the Gemara is my time. What's the reason that we answered that we said, oh, they're never going to have that case? You're never going to have first day of Sukkot on Friday. And therefore, you're always going to have a Friday that has 48 blasts. What's the reason? Why wouldn't we have that? So the Gemara says, because Kivan the Iklo Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Li'Yisperev Shabbos, because if that were to happen, that the first day of Sukkot would be on a Friday, then Yom Kippur Emes Haba. Then when do you think Yom Kippur is going to be? Which is, Sukkot is on the 15th of Tishrei, and Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. That comes out, it's going to be B'chad B'Shabbos. That's going to be on the Sunday. Now, we don't want Yom Kippur to be on the Sunday, because we're concerned about people having Yerkaya, Masaya, as the Gemara says, Masech Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav, that we're concerned that going in from Shabbos into Yom Kippurim, and Hukach Tachin Alei, and therefore we push off Rosh Hashanah to make it a day later, so that Yom Kippur is a day later, that it's not on a Sunday, and therefore, the first day of Sukkot is never going to be on a Friday, it's going to be only on the Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara said that your question is a legitimate question, but it's never going to happen. And therefore, you will always have a Friday that will have the 48 blasts, because it will never be on that Friday will be on the first day of Yom Tov, which is when you do not do Simchas Beis Sheva. Now, the Gemara asks, Umidachinele, is that really true that we are Daicha Yom Kippurim, that it should never be on the Sunday? Because as we quoted from Masechta Rosh Hashanah, there were certain concerns that Chazal had, and therefore you're never going to have the first day of Sukkot on Friday. But what's now we learn in Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says, Chelvi Shabbos, the sacrificial fat of the carbon tumid shall bein harabayim, which is the evening carbon as Shabbos is the end of Shabbos, those fats are craving the Yom Kippurim. One could sacrifice those fats on Yom Kippurim, which obviously that means to say that Yom Kippur is Matzah Shabbos on Sunday. So we see that Yom Kippurim could be on Matzah Shabbos. So that's one question I'm going to ask. Because if we're saying that the Chelvi Shabbos could, which generally the Chalav Meivam could go through the night, but the Chiddush is that although Yom Kippurim is a different Yom Tiv, we would think that maybe you cannot. And that we're saying that no, you could bring it throughout the night, which will already be Yom Kippurim. So you see that Yom Kippur could be on Sunday. Additionally, we have another question where Rav Zera said over there in Perek Eli Kesharim, said, Ki avina bei Rav bebavel, well, we were in the yeshiva of Rav in Bavel, Hava Amri, I said, Ha de Tanya, at this that it says in the Braisa, Yom Kippur Mishchalis Erev Shabbos, when Yom Kippur comes out to be on a Friday, Laha Yitoken, the halacha is that's brought in the Braisa is that they wouldn't blow, and these are the keys when they would make extra three to lahav to la'am malacha that people should stop working, and another three to separate between the chayil and kaidish. So they wouldn't do that when Yom Kippur was on Friday because they're not doing any work on Yom Kippur. Now, uva matzah Shabbos, when Yom Kippur falls out on a matzah Shabbos on a Sunday, lo hayim avdilin, they also wouldn't make havdalah, which is what's called being kaidish le kaidish, like we make when we're leaving from Shabbos to Yom Tov, because there the day that you're leaving from, that of Shabbos, is chamer, is stringent in its malacha. And then you're going into something that's more kal. So therefore you make a havdalah, because you could do certain malachas on Yom Tov. But here, where what you're also going into is chamer, just like Shabbos, at least in regards to the Isra malacha, so therefore you're not going to make havdalah when you're leaving Shabbos. So those are the two halachas that it said in the Braisa. A, that when Yom Kippur is Friday before Shabbos, you don't make the blast to stop the people from doing malacha and to separate between Friday and Shabbos. And additionally, when Yom Kippur is the day after Shabbos, which is Matzah Shabbos, then they wouldn't make Havdalah. Now, on that is what Reb Zeira said, that I was interpreting that Braisa was Divrei HaKol Hi, that's going according to everybody. In other words, whether Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva, who although they argue regarding if the fats of the Karban Shabbos, the Tamashal Bein Abayim, if it could be brought in Yom Kippurim or not, that's regards to that halacha. But regards to this Braisa, everyone would agree, both opinions, that these two halachas apply, that we're not going to make the tekiyas before and we're not going to make Havdalah afterwards. Now, however, that Rabbi Zera said, Kisalikas Lahasam, when they got over there, Ashkechasil Rabbi Yehuda Bereid Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, the Yosef Akamah that he was sitting, he was saying that no, it's not according to everybody. It's only Rabbi Kiva. It's only going according to Rabbi Kiva. Now there, the Gemara explains exactly the context of the halacha that Rabbi Zeira talk about. But one thing that the Gemara wants to bring this in that we hear from this, from the Braisa, is that Yom Kippurim could be on Matzah Shabbos. It could be on a Sunday. So we have two questions that seem to indicate that Yom Kippurim could be on a Sunday. And if that's the case, then you could have the first day of the Yom Tov of Sukkot on the Friday, and then therefore we're back to our original question. Well, you see that there could be a time that you're not going to have Erev Shabbos Sukkot having 48 blasts, and if that's the case, if it's not every year, then you're back to the other question, which said that, oh, we could have 57 blasts. You say, oh, we don't say that because not every year. Then why do we say Erev Shabbos and Sukkot if it's also L'chayr not every year? Nothing more says Loikash. It's not a difficulty, because actually what we answered is true, that Erev Shabbos that falls out on Sukkot will have 48 blasts, because it will never be on the first day of Yom Tov will be on the Friday. But that's according to our Mishnah, and that is, our Mishnah was going according to the Rabbanan, who they argue on this opinion called the Acherim, because they say that we could be Ma'abr the Chedesh, which means to say to add an extra day to make it a full month, when there's a tzairich, when there's a necessity. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah will never be on Erev Shabbos, because we push it off, because we do not want it to be that Yom Kippur will fall out on the Sunday, and rather we're going to make it on the Monday. And if that's the case, that we will have that the first day of Yom Tov will never be on a Friday. Now, these Mishnayos, the Brais that we brought, which make it sound like that you could have Yom Kippur being on Sunday, and that we do not say that we're going to make the El into 30 days and push off the month a day later, that's going Acherim here. That's going according to the opinion of Acherim, that they say we could not just be Ma'abra Chedesh, make the month into a full month if there's a necessity. It sounds like within the Brisa that this is their Machlekes. Acherim, Ayrim, others say that Ein Bein Atzeres LaTzeres, there is never a difference from 1 year Shavuos to the next year Shavuos. And the Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, there's never a difference between 1 year Rosh Hashanah and another Rosh Hashanah, Ela Arba Yom Bilvad. There's only going to be a distance of 4 days from 1 year to the next year. And that is, if let's say this year that Rosh Hashanah is on a Sunday, next year is going to be on a Thursday. In other words, it will be a distance of 4 days. And that's because that's the order according to what's called the Moila of the Levana, when the Levana has a rebirth. And that's because between every rebirth of the Levana, there's 29 and a half days, which comes out that for two Mailadas, there's 59 days. Now, what comes out is, according to all the months of the year, you're going to have one male, which means 1 month, 30 days, and Be'echad Chasa, one of them will be lacking, which will be not a full, which will be 29, because it's 29 and a half, so you can't make a half a day, so you make 30, 29. Now, the Acherim hold that we do not make one Mu'ubur, or one Chasser, if there's a need. In other words, we can't decide we want this day to be there and we want there to be that. So, you know, we'll make this 130, we'll make this 129. We can't. Rather, the Rosh Chodashim are set. It's always one male, one chaser. That's the way the cycle always goes. And therefore, it's always going to be, if I have Pesach this year on this day, 4 days later will be the Pesach of the next year. Because you have six male and six chaser, because there's 354 days in the lunar year. Now, 350 comes out that that's 50 weeks. Now, that comes out there's an extra 4 days in the year from this year to the next year, and therefore there's going to be 4 days later will be that Yom Tov. You always know that if Rosh Hashanah is this time this year, 4 days later will be the next year's Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Ma'is Hashanah Mubaris, if it was what's called a leap year, then Chamisha, then you'll know that the next year's Yom Tov will be 5 days later. Because this Tana, the Acherim hold, that a Chodesh Iber, the extra Adar, the leap year, the extra month that's added is always Chaser, is always 29 days. So therefore, 28 days are 4 weeks. Comes out again, there's an extra day. And therefore, you add that on to the 4 days that's on a regular year that it comes out later. So you add the extra one extra day from the extra month, which comes out 5 days later. And therefore, there's no question on what we were asking, because the truth is, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, who doesn't hold like the Acherim, it will never come out to be, because we do not want Yom Kippur on Sunday. Now, therefore, if it's not going to be on Sunday, you're never going to have the first day of Sukkot on Erev Shabbos. So therefore, you'll always have an Erev Shabbos that will have 48. However, the other Tanaim that we quoted as questions in the Gemara, you're right, they hold like the Acherim, who hold that we can't, although we don't want Yom Kippur on Sunday, if that's what it comes out, that's what it comes out. You always have to keep that cycle of Molichasa, and they are the ones who say that Yom Kippur could be on the Sunday. But that's not a question on the Tanaim of our Mishnah, who doesn't hold like that, which will never have, that there will be an Erev Shabbos that won't have 48 Tekiyas on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Now the Gemara continues asking on Rebbe Acha, who again, he said this halacha in the interpretation of the Braisa, that we make extra tekiyas for every single karba musaf that there is on that day. Now, Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, it says, Rosh Chodesh Chalis B'Shabbos. If let's say it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so then the halacha, the Braisa says, is that Shir Shul Rosh Chodesh, that the song that's said on Rosh Chodesh, is Deicher Shir Shul Shabbos, because you have competition here. Which song do we sing? If it's a regular day, we sing that day. If it's Shabbos, we sing Shabbos. If it's Rosh Chodesh, we sing Rosh Chodesh. But now, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So on that, the Braisa says that Rosh Chodesh supersedes and pushes away the Song of Shabbos. Now, V'i Isa, if Rebach is correct, that we make a special musaf, we make a special tekiyas for that musaf of no matter what it is, if it's Shabbos, you make special tekiyas for Shabbos, if it's Rosh Chodesh, make for Rosh Chodesh. So, Lema de Shabbos, V'lema de Rosh Chodesh. What do you mean? Let's say the Song of Shabbos and say the Song of Rosh Chodesh, because you're saying we make the tekiyas when we say the Shira. And if we're making tekiyas, so if we're saying both Shiras, so what's the question of saying that one is Deicha the other? According to Rabbi Acha, you're saying both Shiras. So why are we saying that Rosh Chodesh is Deicha Shabbos? So Rav Safri says, you're right. My Deicha, what does it mean that Rosh Chodesh pushes away Shabbos? Is Deicha Lekadim. It pushed away Shabbos to come first. That's what it means to say. Now the question is, Vamai. But why would that be the case? Why would Rosh Chodesh take precedence in chronological order of Shabbos? But we know there's a klal of tadir, something that's constant, which is what Shabbos is every seventh day. B'she'in the tadir, something that's not constant, which Rosh Chodesh only comes once every 29-30 days. And we know tadir kaidim, what comes more often, that takes precedence. So why would we say Rosh Chodesh if the way Rabbah is interpreting means just to say that what comes first, why would Rosh Chodesh come before Shabbos? And then Rabbi Yechon says the reason for that is leida shahuk for Rosh Chodesh b'zmanei. You're right, Shabbos should come first, but we're doing that as an indicator to show people that Rosh Chodesh was established in its proper time. And that is, we're just making chashibis. We want people to realize, whoa, Rosh Chodesh is coming before Shabbos, that people should realize that it was so obvious to Beis Din that they were Mekadesh, the new month, according to its proper law, that people shouldn't start thinking, and because most people didn't see when the Levana renewed itself, and therefore maybe today's not really Rosh Chodesh. They're saying, no, today's Rosh Chodesh. We're even going to do it before Shabbos to show you that today's Rosh Chodesh, and that's why it comes before Shabbos. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, the Hayah Kerev Dinan, is that really the case? You tell me that you're interpreting Deicha, not that we do one and not the other, but just which one comes first, and you tell me the reason why it comes first is to illustrate to people that this is Rosh Chodesh. We know which is the right day, and we're even going to do it before the Shir of Shabbos. Now, you're telling me that's the sign that they show people that today's the day? But Ho'akir Achrit Avdinan, we know that there is a different sign they use to show people that today's the day. Because in the Gir says, Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, in Masech Shkalim, that says, Chelvei Tamid Shal Shachar. The fats of the carbon tamid, which really the same thing applies to all the limbs of the carbon, because every limb of a carbon oilah is called Chelvei, because just like the fats, the sacrificial parts of every carbon are totally sacrificed in the Mizbeach, really the entire carbon oila, so they're all called chelve, they're all sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Now, nitanin michatzi kevesh ulamata b'mizrach. Now, these sacrificial parts are placed on the bottom half of the ramp towards the east. And that is, there were six kahanim that merited in transporting the limbs, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Yumin of Chavzayin and Alf. Now, they would bring it to the ramp, and they would organize it on the bottom half of the ramp, facing towards the eastern part of the ramp, until the one who then would take it from the ramp and bring it up the ramp to the Mizbeach and sacrifice it over there. Now, this was an indicator, a sign for them, that it was on the eastern part, on the bottom, that this was from the carbon tumet. And the reason why it's put in a special place, because sometimes the limbs of the carbon tumet would not be sacrificed until the Korban Musaf was already brought. Now, there had to be a clear distinction not to go ahead and sacrifice the limbs of the Korban Musaf before the limbs of the Korban Tamid, because we learn that from Sukkim that nothing is allowed to be sacrificed on the Maracha, on the fire of the Mizbeach, before the Tamid Shalshach, and therefore there had to be a clear distinction about when we're putting the limbs, which limbs are from the Korban Tamid and which limbs are other limbs, for example, from the Korban Musaf, because those had to come first. So they went on the bottom half on the east. V'shal Musaf in the sudden. Now the limbs of the sacrificial parts of the Korban Musaf were placed opposite them, Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Marv, on the bottom half, towards the eastern part of the ramp. And that is because the width of the ramp was 16 amas from east to west. Its length from north to south was 32 amas. So the bottom half, the 16 from north to south, facing the 8, which is on the western part, was with where the parts of the Korban Musaf were. Now, B'shal Rosh Chodesh, however, the limbs of the Korban Musaf, or Rosh Chodesh, was distinct from all other Korban Musaf. Their parts were in the sun. They were placed on the ramp, Tachas Karkav HaMizbeach Ulamata. So it was on the ramp, but it was a little bit beneath the Karkav HaMizbeach, which is also known as the Seviv, which is another ledge that goes around part of the height of the Mizbeach. And that's because it was on the upper half of the ramp. And that's because the entire ramp, its length, as we explained, is 32 amas long. Now, the incline is only a height of 9 amas. Now, from the 6 amas from the ground to the Seviv, and then you have 3 amas from the Seviv all the way to the top of the Mizbeach. So it comes out that if you have from the bottom 6 and then on the top 3, so that 2/3 of the length of the Mizbeach is from the ground to the Seviv. And therefore, if we're putting it a little bit beneath the Seviv, that means to say that the sacrificial parts of the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is in the upper half of the ramp. Now we continue on the top of the Nehemad Al of Amr B'Yechon. Rabbi Yechon has said, now the reason why they were Masadr, they organized the sacrificial parts of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh above all the other limbs, be them of the Korban Tamid that comes every day, or the Korban Musaf of other Musafim, which was also on the bottom half towards the west, was to show the Chashivas of the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Later, Shahuk for Rosh Chodesh was money to show people, we're showing you that this is important because we know that today is Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes we're putting it above everything. It's even on the top half of the ramp, a little bit beneath the height of the Karkav of the Seviv. So basically, Mara's question is, why did you say that to be Deicha, we put the song of Rosh Chodesh before the song of Shabbos to indicate to people, although Shabbos is Tadr and that's normally what we do first, is to show that we want people to know that today is really Rosh Chodesh, but we already did a different sign for people to know it's Rosh Chodesh. We put the Evarim of the Musvei Rosh Chodesh on the top half of the Kavish. So why do we have to do this as a sign? So the Gemara answers, Treha Karavdin, we did two signs because the Chazi, High Chazi, the one who sees this sign, sees that when he sees the Levim singing, he's like, whoa, they're singing Rosh Chodesh before Shabbos. Must be they know for sure today's Rosh Chodesh. And the Chazi, High Chazi, and whoever sees the other sign, he sees that, whoa, he's putting the limbs on, and those limbs are going on top. Which ones are those? Rosh Chodesh. Oh, must be today's Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, it's not a question. They did two different signs because maybe one would see one and not the other. So they had these two signs again to show the Chashivas of Rosh Chodesh that people should know that today is definitely Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, that's not a reason to be doicher Rabbi Acha's interpretation. And what does it mean that the Rosh Chodesh was doicher the one of Shabbos to say that it must be that there was one and not the other? No, it's like Rabbi Acha, that we would do both, because every single Musaf got its own tekiyas, which means it got its own shir. And it's just that we would do one before the other, and although we have a different hekker, we still have this hekker, because we had two hekerim to show that there is the chashivas of Rosh Chodesh over that of Shabbos, in the sense to show people that today is definitely Rosh Chodesh.